Is Buddhism male-dominated religion? In the time of the Buddha, the society where he lived was male-dominated. 2,500 years back in ancient India, it was a male-dominated society. The women did not have any political, social, or economic liberty or freedom, dominated mainly by men. Even today, the 20th century that we live, the world is still male-dominated. So 2,500 years back, you can imagine in what society was it. It was a popular belief, and everybody accepted in the society, as Brahmanic religions taught. According to their teachings, the women should never give the freedom. And they said, Pita rakshati kaumare, bharata rakshati yauvane, putrastista vire bhare, na stri svatantra marhati. This is not the teachings of the Buddha. This is a Sanskrit sloka, is found in Manusmriti, their law book. According to their explanation, when a lady is very young, when she is a young girl, she should be protected by father and must live under the guidance of father. Bharata rakshati yauvane. After marriage, she should live under the husband. Putrasta ista vire bhare. When she is very old, then she must listen to her own son. Naistri svatantra marahati. Ever, never give freedom to womankind. That was the society where Buddha appeared. In fact, Buddha tried his best to change the society. Through his social teachings, he uplifted the status of the women. Child marriage was popular in his day, and it was accepted by the society. So very young girls were married to old men, and it was all right. But Buddha did not accept such ideas. And Buddha very boldly and openly taught, Atita yobbano poso aneti timbaruttani tassa issa nasupati tampara bhavato mukhang. He said, if an old man marry a young girl, and that is the cause of downfall, that family will not become success. This man will suffer in jealousy. And in this way, Buddha rejected such practices, discouraged such practices among his followers. Polygamy was again accepted. One man could have many wives. But it seems like Buddha preferred monogamy. And when he recommended five precepts, third precept is to be faithful to your wife or faithful to your husband. So Buddha, even though he did not try to go to the extent to teach very much against polygamy, through his precepts, and he encouraged monogamy. In that society, it seems like The boys were preferred by parents and not girls. One day Buddha was having a discussion with King Pasenadi of Kosala. At that particular moment, a messenger came from the palace and delivered the message that the Queen Mallika gave birth to a baby girl. The king who heard this, that his queen gave birth to a baby girl, he was very upset, disappointed, because he was expecting a baby boy. At that moment, the Buddha said these remarkable words. Ittipi ekachya seya posa janadipa. He said, King, some women are better than men. And he said, Medavani silavati sasudeva patibhata. A woman can become someone who upholds righteous principle, ethical principle, and can give birth to a prince who can lead a country, who can lead a realm, who can run country, who can become a king. So Buddha advised the kings to bring up this baby girl with proper education, and she said that this girl will become a prominent character in the future. Actually, in time to come, this very girl become a queen and give birth to a child who later became the king. So here, what we can understand, Buddha tried his best to change the society, and he is not a male dominant person. Buddha recognized the difference between men and women. He recognized the difference. Men and women are different. But he accepted the equal right for men and women. In his time, women were not respected. So Buddha specifically had to give some teachings to marriage couples. We come across in Sigalavada Sutta, when Buddha talks about the duties of husband and wife towards each other. In the list of the duties of men, first two duties Buddha suggested that a man should not belittle and disparage his wife. And man should be polite and respectful towards wife. These two are given as duties. So what it means, and for the Buddha to give these as duties of a husband, and there is a reason. It means in his time, and the women were not respected and given the due place. Buddha uplifted the status of the mother. And in the Karaniya Metta Sutta, all of you have heard many times this famous utterance of the Buddha. Just like mother who protects her only child, one should cultivate boundless love and compassion. And with the teachings like Mama Yati Ti Mata, one who nourish and cherish you more than anyone else on the earth is mother. Like such kind of teachings, Buddha tried to uplift the status of the women. There is another important aspect. In the time of the Buddha, it was a popular belief and everybody accepted without questioning that women cannot attain spiritual height. And it is recognized Dwangula Panya. Their wisdom is only this much. What is it called? 2 inches wisdom. That was the concept of the people. And it is accepted that not only women cannot attain any spiritual height, but the women are the hindrances for the men. So the women are obstacle for the man to achieve spiritual height. So such was the belief. But Buddha was not having such belief. When Venerable Ananda asked the Buddha, Lord, is it possible for a woman to become enlightened like a man? Buddha said, yes, women are capable of becoming enlightened if they were to practice. So here Buddha accepted outwardly, openly, that men and women has got equal capacity, ability to be awakened. Now, when we look at the teachings of the Buddha, I cannot see that the Buddha is a male dominant person, or he taught the Dhamma in a such a way to make Buddhism to be a male dominated religion. There's no such teaching. But again, there are some written materials that we can propose that Buddhism is a male dominated religion in another aspect. Those people who like to label Buddhism as a male-dominated religion, they ask these two important, very strong questions. First question they ask, if Buddha is not a male-dominated person, why did he reject for three times to start nun's order? That was the first question they asked. But many people, they do not understand or they do not pay attention. In fact, Buddha had practical reasons to reject the starting of nun's order at very beginning. The monk's life is not an easy life. Throughout thousands of years, it is only the men who went out of the house and he started living under the trees and caves. And there was no tradition that women went out of the house and he started to live under the trees and caves. At that moment, at very beginning of the dispensation of the Buddha's teaching, there were no monasteries. Monks, they lived under the trees in open space or in caves, and they lived a very harsh life, very, very difficult life. Now these ladies, Queen Mahaprajapati Gotami and the princesses who come from royal clan, they were brought up in a luxurious way. They do not have any kind of hardship in life. And giving the opportunity for these people to come out and become homeless, the monks are known as Chucharan, correct? The one, what is it called? Chucharan, okay. The one who goes out of the house, homeless people. So it was in fact a very radical decision for the Buddha to take, to open for the women to go to be homeless. And that was against the society. And another important reason here, the society was not ready. Society was male dominated, and the women were protected by the male. And then when Buddha had to take this decision, he had to think very carefully. So he was very reluctant to start the nun's order because of these obstacles. In fact, later on, after Buddha started the nun's order, there were many people who have become so unhappy and angry with the Buddha. And the Buddha was labeled as destroyer of family life, destroyer of marriage life. And because Buddha opened the gates for the women to become nuns, so because of that reason, later on, of course, many people in the society, they started this called Buddha. So Buddha took this decision finally after initial rejection. But we must understand, it is not because Buddha was thinking as in line with the male dominancy, but rather it's for practical reason he was reluctant. Now the second important question the people ask, well, if Buddha is not a male dominated person, then why did he impose 8 chief rules on bhikkhunis when the Buddha gave permission for these 500 ladies to become nuns? Buddha made them accept 8 chief rules. These are known as Atta Garu Dharma. And if you go through these one by one, actually at outward, you will see the Buddha very precisely, openly made nuns' order subordinate to monks' order. That is a fact. We do not deny it. But we cannot say that Buddha did it because he has got the concept of male dominance, but it has got many other reasons. Today, modern scholars think differently. They think actually Buddha did not impose these 8 rules. It was done by the monks later on. That is what some scholars today believe. They believe Buddha did not impose these 8 rules on Queen Pajapati Gotami and the other 500 ladies who became nuns. But these 8 rules were imposed by later by the monks. That is, some scholars believe today. And this is, of course, arguable. Now, going back and thinking, suppose Buddha himself imposed these 8 rules. And if you were to look at them again, and you might see a different side of these rules. First of all, when Buddha started the nuns' order, bhikkhuni order, his idea, the main purpose is to create a spiritual community where the ladies can come together and practice together and attain enlightenment. Buddha did not have here an agenda to change the whole society, whole male-dominated society. Buddha did not try that. And Buddha did, it's not his mission. So his idea, his focus is to create a spiritual community for ladies to come together and practice together. And not only that, this small community that Buddha created for the women, not many women came forward, of course, even today we don't have many women. And this small organization must survive. So where it should be survived? It should be survived in a male-dominated society. So the major society was male-dominated. So the monks' order and nuns' order are small communities. So if Buddha made these two, the nuns' order, not subordinate to monks' order, and the chances of survival was zero. You had to go back to 2,500 years to understand that. There were many monks who were against the Buddha's decisions to start nuns' order. Venerable Ananda, who was initiative of encouraging the Buddha to start nuns' order, after Buddha's passing away, at first council, he was charged for this. Remember, those who have learned this history, he was charged for this. And he said, it is because of you. It's because of you that Buddha started this. So it means, even 3 months after passing away of the Buddha, even though these monks keep quiet, actually there were many monks who were not happy with this. Buddha took a radical decision. Buddha took a decision against the time and against the conditions. You need to go 2,500 years back. You are looking at this from 20th century. Correct? You are thinking now is based on 20th century. You need to go back 2,500 years. Then only you can understand the mentality of the people. So the Buddha took a radical decision to start the nun's order. Not only that, Buddha being such a wonderful teacher, compassionate and wise, he had to think, how can I make this nun's order survive? So he thought the only best way to make the nun's order subordinate to the monk's order. So the first rule was given. Even though a nun who is ordained in 100 years in seniority must pay respect and rise up from the seat and greet to a monk who ordained on that day itself. Now looking at this first rule, you might think, yes, it is male dominant. You can see it in that way. But on the other hand, by giving this rule, Buddha created the kind of favorable conditions that the male egoism was elated and they are still number one. So in this case, there is no competition between monks and nuns. And the monks will look after the nuns like their own sisters. And in this way, Buddha created the condition for the nuns' order to survive. On the other hand, monks' order by its origin is the senior one. So if the Buddha were to start two organizations, first organization was the monks' order. And after 5 years later, he started the nuns' order. So he also logically made the second organization, which was the nuns' ordination, which was 5 years junior, to be subordinated to the monks' order for another reason. It is because they can learn from the seniors. And there are rules, on the other hand, Buddha imposed for the nuns' protection. The second rule, for example, is nuns should not observe the rainy retreat where there are no monks. It means the bhikkhunis can observe the rainy retreat in the residences where there are other monks. It is for the protection of the ladies. So Buddha made a rule that nuns must observe the rainy retreat where there are monks for their own protection. There are some other rules where the Buddha made it that this monk's order and nun's order must work hand in hand with mutual understanding and respect. And these are the rules like the nuns must check with the monk's order in every month when is the observance day. So on the observance day that the monks decide, which is the full moon day, and the nuns also observe. And also it was made by the Buddha, the senior monks give the instructions to the nuns. It is for the mutual support and understanding and protect. So there were such kind of rules. So rather than looking it at from the male-dominated point of view, if you were to look at it for the sustenance point of view and the mutual understanding and respect, then you will understand the other side of this story as well. So we cannot tell that the Buddha imposed, if we accept the Buddha imposed these eight rules, and if you were to do it, it is not because of the male dominance, but of course for other practical reasons. So Buddhism is not a male-dominated religion in that case, but of course there can be male-dominant elements among the Buddhist communities. It has nothing to do with Dhamma. It has to do something with human beings.